Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday afternoon. Welcome to Average Joe Radio. This is Average Joe. We are simulcasting again today on Facebook as well, so you can see the video. But again, I'm not playing to the camera, but I do encourage any of you that are watching this on video or listening to the recording even to listen on Blog Talk Radio. And the reason that is you can call in and comment if you want to. And honestly, it helps my numbers too, because I don't really get any I don't get any number credit for people that are watching on Facebook. So today we're going to be talking about the title of the show is It Is Rocket Science. We are it's the space program. I am not an expert by any means, but I'm definitely an enthusiast. And I've just this week I've been watching a lot of stuff on the space program. Particularly, I watched a really good documentary on Voyager 1 and 2, and also one on the command control, or the ground people. But so I did want to say today, though, before I get started in this subject. Last week we talked about buying cars, and I just had a couple of corrections I wanted to throw in. One, I failed to mention that Japan also manufactures Subaru, and then from Italy there's Alfa Romeo that I missed, and there may be others that I missed too, but that was two that I remembered off the bat. And then, let's see, seems like there was something else. But anyway, I'm sure I forgot something else too. But so it is rocket science. If you want to call in, 914-219-0884, feel free to call in anytime. But first, I'm going to do this day in history. And what's really cool is this day in history. It's not a good thing, but just the synchronicity of it all is this day in history in 1967. Apollo 1, the astronauts died in a launch pad fire. It was a launch pad fire during the Apollo program test at Cape Canaveral, and it killed Virgil Grissom, Gus Edward H. White II, and Roger B. Chaffee. An investigation indicated that a faulty electrical wire inside the Apollo 1 command module was the probable cause of the fire. The astronauts, the first Americans to die in a spacecraft, had been participating in a simulation of the Apollo 1 launch scheduled for the next month. The Apollo program was initiated by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration following President JFK's 1961 declaration of the goal of landing men on the moon and bringing them back safely to Earth by the end of the decade. The so-called moonshot was the largest scientific and technological undertaking in history. In December 1968, Apollo 8 was the first manned spacecraft to travel to the moon, and on July 20th, 1969, astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin Jr. walked on the lunar surface. In all, there were 17 Apollo missions and 6 lunar landings. So there's just a pile of information that there's no way we're going to get in 30 minutes, and so we're going to talk about what we can talk about today, and we're going to do another show to talk. What I'm going to talk about is kind of in the middle. I'm going to start at Apollo. I'm not going to give you the leading, you know, the stuff that happened. Or we're not going to talk about it right now about Sputnik, you know, the Russians and the space race and all that. But even though that's what initiated JFK's, you know, lighting a fire under the Americans to get us up there and get us to beat the Russians, more or less. If you go way back, Apollo 1, you know, that was a tragedy where they weren't actually getting ready to take off, but they were killed in a fire. And I was one of the documentaries I was watching, it was really a foolish thing. I mean, there was some faulty wiring, and they had just the whole cabin was full of oxygen. So, I mean, it was just a perfect storm. I mean, when you put ignition and oxygen in the same place, you're going to have problems. So I'm not laughing about it, but it's just it really blows me away that, you know, these rocket scientists, you know, that, I mean, it's easy to look back and criticize. I'm really not criticizing, but it kind of blows me away. So I'm going to 914-219-0884. Go ahead and call me. I mean, you know, I'd love to have a conversation with you. But I remember as a kid, and I usually go this route about remembering of the space program, and being in 1969 when they landed on the moon, there was watching the moon landing on TV. So, and it was in black and white. I didn't truly understand what I was looking at because I was only about 7 years old. But that was my first memory of the space travel and the Apollo program. So it looks like we already got a caller. I think we got Mr. Scott's going to jump on with us. Mr. Scott, are you there?
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to hear about the...
Welcome to outer space.
I no doubt. I like your topic tonight. That's cool. But you were not disrespectful at all a minute ago, but you just genuinely got tickled at how rocket scientists' minds must behave. I don't know. It reminded me, I think, Apollo 13. Is that the one that had trouble as soon as they left?
Yes, and actually I was going to talk about that, and we can talk about that now if you'd like.
Well, again, one of your documentaries, that's my source. It reminds me of when they had to scrub the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, and they had they were back and forth between the command module and the limb.
Right.
And one of the canisters filters was round, and the other one was square, designed by the same people.
Right.
You know, they didn't see the eventuality of having to do that, but they just got on the phone with
You would think that they might say, well, just in case, we need to make this consistent, you know, a consistent design throughout the whole thing. But yeah, in Apollo 13, and the irony of it being 13 too, you know, a lot of buildings don't even have a 13th floor.
No doubt.
Of all things, they had a 13th Apollo. I'm not superstitious, but I still think it's kind of ironic. So they were stirring the oxygen cell, the cryos as they called it, and that fuel cell blew out, and it just blew out basically the whole side of that part of the ship. And so they eventually, after trying to figure out what they were going to do, they did you see the movie, by the way?
I have not. One of the many good ones of meaning to see. I have not.
It's really good. I mean, comparing it to what I've read and documentaries, it's really pretty accurate. I mean, it's really a good movie. I highly recommend it. But anyway, they decided the best way to get them home was to use what they called a free return, which would basically they went around the moon, caught the moon's gravity, and slingshot them back towards the Earth, and that was. And it worked, and you know, but they did run into the glitch of you know, the carbon dioxide filter issue.
Yeah, but all that said, you know, it's amazing that they did what they did back then with the slide rule. I don't know how they did it. It's fairly amazing stuff.
I mean, it, you know, and this is you know, they were on the moon in 1969, and the computers back then. had, I mean, the computer on the LEM, the lunar module that landed on the moon, was actually had less computing power than most people's key fobs in their pocket these days. So,
cool.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's that blows my mind. That really does. But
well, that's all I had to offer, man. Apollo brings back good memories. I saw the same black and white you did, and generally around Christmas. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I tell you, we kind of took it for granted, I guess. But there's so many things they're still doing, and a lot that's not widely publicized, or that is, but people hardly notice anymore. It's like, oh, another trip to the space station. No big deal.
Well, I hate to digress, but quickly, I saw something somewhere on TV, so I know it's true, but they were trying to reverse engineer some engines they had made for the Apollo project. Had you ever heard that? And they didn't leave any, no plans. For whatever reason, plans were lost, or maybe they didn't have them. I cannot remember. But they found a pile of them out in Pasadena at a scrapyard.
Wow.
And they had the...
no, I hadn't heard anything about that.
I don't know which stage they were. One of the smaller upper stages. And they had the big, look like, I don't know, 10-foot tall cones out there, the nozzles, with the round liquid oxygen tanks around one side of them. And that was one of the things that they, for whatever reason, memory was lost on how they were built. And they had to go check it out, first engineer, and apparently figure it back out. But it's amazing to me what they did that long ago.
I hadn't heard a thing about that. But anyway, well, thanks, Scott, for calling in. I appreciate you, as always.
My pleasure. Good to hear you. Press on.
All right, man.
Love the show, man.
All right. Thank you, sir. Keep listening.
All right. Have a good
one. Okay. Well, thank you there, Mr. Scott, for calling in. So the Apollo program, we went from, let's see, it was Apollo 8 when they went. They actually went around the moon, and they, I think their intention at that point, I don't know if they intended on landing on the moon. There's so much information. But 914-219-0884 if you want to jump in. But I know I was watching the command control documentary, and they were talking about they didn't have, I don't think they didn't have the LEM ready yet, but everything else was ready, and they already had their window that they wanted to launch. And so they decided to, in Apollo 8, to go ahead and go around the moon, and that way they could, you know, see how it was going to be. So they went around the moon December 24th. It was actually Christmas Eve, 1968. And they had the first time they had to experience radio silence when they were behind the moon. They couldn't communicate with them. And it was when they had calculated the time that it would take when they would actually be back from radio silence, and it was to the second. I mean, that's how good the calculations were. And I'm going to jump around a little bit here because time is just going by so fast, and it's only a 30-minute show. I'm going to jump over to Voyager for a minute. I had watched Farthest, Voyager, on Netflix this week, and that was kind of the thing that got me excited about the space program. And I've always been excited about it, but just really thinking about it, because this is incredible. The Voyager program, they launched the Voyager program, for those of you that don't know, and I would imagine if you're my age or 10 years, give or take, you know what Voyager is. But Voyager, they launched in 1977. They actually launched two. There was Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. And the mission was to, it's a satellite, basically, an exploratory satellite. Well, not a satellite, because it wasn't going to circle the Earth, but a probe, if you will. It was going to go and gather data and photographic information and other information from different planets within our solar system. So the first one they had actually only budgeted for Jupiter and Saturn, because those were the next closest ones. But they ended up hitting Uranus and Neptune. And the cool thing about this, and I was what made me want to talk about this right now, I was talking about the timing that they calculated of the radio silence ending when they went around the moon in Apollo 8. They had calculated there was this one opportunity that only happens once every 175 years. And what that opportunity is where the orbits or the place in the orbit of each one of those planets was going to be such that when they launched those two probes, they would get to Jupiter in time to gather the information that they wanted to gather about it, and then use Jupiter's gravity to slingshot around Jupiter and get to Saturn. And by doing that, by using that gravity to give them extra speed, instead of taking it 20 years to get there, it only took it 12. Now, 12 years seems like an awful long time, but compared to 20, they launched these in 1977. They're still out there. But let me digress here. I'm so excited about it. I'm just all over the place. So they slingshot around Jupiter to get to Saturn, and then they slingshot around. And then also they're looking at the moons on these two planets also, and they actually find one of the moons that is covered in ice, and they believe that underneath the ice is like salt water on this moon. The moons are all just, they was just as weird, I guess, because we can't see those very well from, you know, a telescope and just getting an up-close look at those. So anyway, they slingshot around Jupiter, they slingshot around Saturn, they get to Uranus, same thing, do the same thing, they get to Neptune, and then they were able, but still, again, the timing where they know that these planets are going to be coming around in their orbits, that they can meet them, essentially, and gather information and use the gravity to get to the next planet. I think they left the solar system, if I'm not mistaken, in 2012. I've been really kind of scrambling the last couple of days trying to gather information and I've just got so much of it in front of me here. I'm trying to, you know, communicate it to you guys. 914-219-0884. And like I said, if you're watching this on Facebook, you know, when you can, try to tune in on Blog Talk Radio. The link is on my Facebook page, and it's also on the Average Joe Facebook. Listen in on the link, and that way you can call in if you want. And like I said, it helps my stats. But the Voyager left the solar system in 2012. It's still out there. Now, this is another really big, cool thing, and I know a lot of you know about this, but on Voyager, they put a record, a vinyl record, but it's not vinyl, but it's like an album or a record that you would play on a turntable. And what they put on that record, it's actually made out of metal, but they put about 50 different languages of greetings from, you know, of different languages from Earth, obviously from Earth. They put a bunch of music on there. They put information. They put diagrams of where we're located in the solar system, and or not just the solar system, but where we're located. I'm not going to try to be too detailed about that. But they said, and I got this from the Voyager show, that record and Voyager, assuming it doesn't get hit by a foreign object, that because there's nothing out there to affect, you know, there's no dust, there's no wind, there's no weather, that those records could last in the billions of years. And right now, those, they're already beyond the solar system, and they actually took photographs looking back at the solar system as they were leaving. And you could, there was a little band of light, and a lot of you've probably seen it with a little tiny little speck. They actually thought it was a dust speck on the picture, but it was Earth. And it really kind of puts things in perspective, and, you know, as to what we are in the grand scheme of things, or the grand, the big picture, the really big picture, the infinite picture. but, you know, potentially, and they're actually still receiving information. They've got these big antennas out west that are still listening to and communicating with both Voyagers. They're still surviving, and they're only the signal that's coming from is only about a trillionth of a watt. And I'm an electronics techie guy, and I'm like, what does that mean? I mean, you know, a trillionth of a watt. I mean, you have to have a heck of an amplifier to pick that up, but or to do anything with it. But I mean, that just blows my mind. The fact that they could even do that, for one thing, their math is so good that they could hit the planets at the right time, and then gather all that information. I mean, we learn so much from that mission, and it still hasn't ended, really. But the reason it has the record on it, by the way, is because it was an attempt that they might run into intelligent life out there. Now, it might be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on the intelligent life, if they're friendlies or not so friendlies, but it's out there, so. And the cool thing is they put some Johnny B. Goode on that record, so, you know, some Chuck Berry. So I think I saw Time magazine, the alien sent a message back that said, send more Chuck Berry. So I know I jumped off of Apollo right on the space, the Voyager thing, I guess because that's just what I'm super excited about. Apollo, the going to the moon was amazing, especially in its time. It seems amazing just doing that. And like I said, was when Scott and I were talking about, you know, kind of how we take space travel for granted now, you know, going back and forth to the Skylab. My next subject about this was the space shuttle program. We don't even have the shuttle program anymore. Right now we're hitching a ride with the Russians, and to get back and forth, and which seems kind of sad to me, but the space shuttle program, let's see. Well, first of all, I think nobody can think, you can't even talk about the space shuttle program without remembering Challenger, which was a catastrophic failure in 1986. And it was it exploded in the not too long after launch, and there was civilians on that ride. It was a school teacher and some others, and then we lost the Columbia in 2003. It actually disintegrated when it was reentering Earth's atmosphere. Let's see, and it killed all the crew members as well. That, again, February 1st, 2003. But the first thing I remember about the space shuttle program, it was, they started doing operational flights, test flights in 1981. So I remember seeing on the live footage, they actually had the Enterprise, which was never used for actual missions, but they used it for test flights. They had it attached to a 747, it was riding piggyback on the 747. Saw this on the news. I was like, what the heck are they doing? And they let it go, and then they basically landed. You know, so they were just doing some test flights. So that's the first thing I remember about the shuttle program. But they had hundreds of successful shuttle missions. It was the first reusable spacecraft. They used it to deploy the Hubble Space Telescope and the basically servicing the International Space Station. Let's see. The shuttle's fleet total mission time was 1,322 days, 19 hours, 21 minutes, and 23 seconds, if you want to get technical and get down to the nitty-gritty. But they serviced satellites and did all kind of things. So the shuttle made it possible to do a lot of things that we couldn't do before. 914-219-0884. Scott, man, I appreciate you calling in. I need some other callers. I'm just so excited about this subject, and we will be talking about it some more. I mean, we've only got about 3.5 minutes here to go. There's just so much more, and I was actually one of our regular listeners reminded me that there's been some other stuff going on here lately that I totally didn't even think about. But I told him, I'm like, man, I've already got more than I can say in 30 minutes, so I'm just going to talk a little bit about, I mean, I really wanted to talk more about, I know I've been rambling, I'm still rambling, I wanted to talk more about the Apollo missions, and we will, and Voyager and the space shuttle program, but it's all kind of evolved into what we've been able to do. And there's been things in between all that. There's just so much information. Let's see. After Apollo 13, jumping back to the Apollo. I'm just looking at my notes here. There were four more successful missions after Apollo 13, and the last was actually Apollo 17. Let's see. So, and then, regarding Apollo 13, mission control personnel were on site. They were at mission control for over 48 hours, and in that time, they weren't taking baths. They weren't brushing their teeth. Back in those days, about everybody smoked. So you can imagine that place was just full of smoke because people were stressing. smoking them cigarettes. And then one other thing that happened during Apollo 13, when they finally were coming back into the Earth's atmosphere, because of the incredible heat of reentering the atmosphere, the ionization, which this is normal when they first hit the atmosphere and it heats up, the ionization from the heat, they have radio silence again and they don't hear from them for so many minutes or seconds or whatever, and this time for whatever reason it was way longer than usual, and so they thought they had lost them. You know, they'd done all that and about got them home, and then thought they'd lost them there at the very end, and then they showed up, and the reconnaissance aircraft and the aircraft carrier and all saw them, you know, put eyes on them and everything. But golly, I'm sorry for just rambling all over the place today, but I just want to talk about it all. And I appreciate y'all listening. We're about out of time here already, but, we're going to talk about it some more. Email me averagejoe@carolina.r.com. And if you have any comments, or if you want to, if you have any suggestions on things to talk about, I'm open ears. Today is been fun. I appreciate all of you listening, and we'll see you next week. Have a good week, and stay spacey, my friend.